are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, December the 17th, and the Pistons follow up the biggest win of the season with that. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News, an Associated Press Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for spreading the word and following along with the Locked On Pistons podcast. We really appreciate all you guys and all you do for us here as 2019 comes to a close very soon. Today we're going to run down the loss from Monday night against the Washington Wizards. I got my three biggest takeaways on a disappointing one. I got some thoughts on Blake, some thoughts on Andre Drummond and Mexico and avocados. I haven't quite run out all my thoughts for this, but man, it's kind of rubbing me the wrong way, to be honest. I'll think it over before maybe I say too much, but we'll check in the end of the show with Breishan from Philly about where his head is at. He called last week, so we'll get his call on as we look ahead to some more basketball throughout the week here with the Pistons, who are back in action on Wednesday. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But the Pistons lose to Washington on Monday night, 133-119. Another one that will be contributing to the final obituary for this season, for the blowing of this season by losing to crap teams. I tweeted it early in the fourth quarter when it was going to be about to be crunch time for this team, and I just said, looking ahead at this schedule coming up, tough teams coming up here, even though they're home for a lot of them, then six road games after that, it just felt big. It felt like this was an opportunity to get a win that you needed, just a tough stretch coming up. After that road trip that is coming up after this tough stretch of home games, there's going to be a really easy stretch in January, as we talked about last week. But I just can kind of see the direction of where this month and a half is going to go. And this one felt very big in a season and in a couple of months that's very big for this franchise and what they're going to do going forward. A home game against the Wizards. I know that there's no Blake Griffin. I know that there's no Andre Drummond. But still, the Wizards don't have C.J. Miles. They don't have Thomas Bryant. They don't have Jordan McRae. Rui Hachimura misses the second half. John Wall is, of course, out. A winnable game still for the Pistons, and they weren't able to get it done. Falling to 11-16 on the season, five games under 500, 10th place in the Eastern Conference in a virtual tie with the Charlotte Hornets. 1.5 games behind the Orlando Magic for the eighth spot in the East. Pistons fall to 4-8 in the season on what I can consider crap teams. Again, that's the top line of the obituary for this season. They couldn't beat scrubs like the Washington Wizards, who are rebuilding and in some cases purposefully trying to lose. Now the Pistons are 0-7 against the Chicago Bulls, Charlotte Hornets, and Washington Wizards combined. Teams that aren't really even in the category of the Pistons of teams that have legitimate chances of going to the playoffs. Although, the more and more Chicago and Charlotte hang around, and more the Pistons flounder, you start to wonder about the directions of the seasons for this group of teams. Again, this is the reason that this team isn't going to the playoffs. It's the reason that there needs to be serious rethinking about the organization. But the Pistons give up 43 points in the first quarter. That was the big thing. The defense, we'll talk some about the offense today, but the big thing was the defense. BasketballReference.com, according to John Neo of the Detroit News, he checked it out and found out that the Pistons, last time that they gave up more points in regulation was 1995, when Seattle scored 134 points against Detroit. And so, yeah, not so good. And then Sean Kemp, Dwayne Casey was an assistant coach for George Karl on that Seattle team, by the way. And the Wizards shot great. We know this. We know that this is what happens in the NBA sometimes. We know that the Wizards are a explosive offensive team. However, they're one of the worst. I think they might be the worst statistical defensive team in the league. So what you got to do is take advantage of your opportunities on the other end and limit the shooting as much as possible. 81% from the field in the first quarter for Washington. 78% in the fourth quarter for them. Bradley Beal, with 35 points. Isaiah Thomas in his first game back from missing four or five games with a calf injury, he had 23. Each of those guys scored 11 points in the fourth. When you got guys like Derrick Rose and Luke Kennard out there who are liabilities defensively and not getting it done enough in Luke Kennard's case offensively to make up for it, not completely his fault. We'll get into that in a little second here, but 22 points apiece for the veteran leaders of this group when Andre and Blake are out, and that's Derrick Rose and Markieff Morris. Derrick Rose had moments of brilliance. Once again, as he has been pretty much doing all season, carried them back into the game in some ways. Markieff was very good early when the team was struggling, but at least he was getting it going. 20 points for Bruce Brown. He was 8 of 8 from the free throw line. He's been struggling there all season. He added 6 rebounds as well, helping to pick up the slack for Andre Drummond being out. Luke Kennard finished with 14, 6, and 6 in a game that we needed more from him as Pistons Nation. Ish Smith, a little bit of a feel-good story. He had 10 points and 7 assists in his return to Detroit. First game back in Little Caesars Arena since leaving in free agency for Washington, although we know that Ish Smith probably would have wanted to come back, but it was just a situation where the team moved on, and he obviously needed to move on as well. 11 teams that he's played with in his career in the three-year span in Detroit, by far the longest of his career, so the closest thing he's had to an NBA home here in Detroit. Everybody loves Ish Smith. The things you hear about him are all true and genuine from the 5 or 6 times that I've talked to him. Just a really grand guy, and you could tell by before the game he's talking to everyone. During the game he's talking to Blake Griffin and referees and all that stuff. He's just one of the good guys in the NBA, and nice to see him back in Little Caesars Arena. But the what was not nice to see back was the 18 of 33 shooting for the Washington Wizards, 54.5% from three. And again, it's that simple in some ways. The Wizards shot the lights out, but we know that Dwayne Casey's defense is largely predicated upon the opposite of what he wants to do offensively. So the threes and the layups, keeping teams out of the lane, that didn't happen. It was a complete failure on Monday night for the Pistons as a team, and they will continue back at home on Wednesday against the defending champion Toronto Raptors. Sounds like an L to me. At Boston on Friday, sounds like another L to me. Chicago at home for a back-to-back for the Pistons on Saturday, certainly winnable, but man, Philly at home a week from today, we know how that one's going to go probably, and that's it until Christmas. So in my book, we're probably looking at one win and three losses from now until Christmas, and you can open up your presents with the Pistons sitting at 12-19 on Christmas Day as you watch some of the elite teams in the NBA go against each other and think, man, it's been a decade or so since the Pistons would have even been considered to be on a Christmas Day type of team because they deserved those types of national attention. And it feels like a million years from now that that could even be possible at this point right now. Four of the next five still at home, and then a 6-game road trip after that. It's going to be tough sledding until that really easy stretch from January 7th to January 23rd, where there's 11 winnable games there, and actually 10 of the 11 are very winnable, and we expect the Pistons to get hot in January, but will it matter? Not quite sure, as nights like tonight continue to send this season down the toilet. But if you're a Spotify listener, use Spotify Wrapped to show us your top Locked On podcast for the year. Take a screenshot and tag us at Locked On Live, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account and my account, Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Get all those Twitter accounts tagged, and we will share and retweet for you as well. But up next, I'm going to give you my three takeaways from Monday night against the Wizards. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we will see what Breeshin's got to say from Philly. He went somewhere warm, and I think he just wanted to brag about it, but he's got some thoughts as I brought up the 76ers, and piqued his interest a little bit in possible trade talks with the Pistons as the deadline approaches on February 7th. But I got my three biggest things, and it seems silly to make this number three, but we knew this was not a new thing, so just wanted to give the update on Blake's knee. Had the MRI. Sounds like it came out clean as far as no new damage to there. Being precautionary was the thing that Dwayne Casey talked about before the game, so it just sounds like kind of status quo business as usual in that getting a load management day of sorts on Monday. That kind of tone suggests to me that he might play on Wednesday against Toronto. That being said, I don't see it. I don't think it's a good idea. I would recommend that they sit him down and let him get a little bit more healthy before he tries to work himself back into conditioning. This thing is doing is one of the reasons that the season's getting derailed. We, of course, know that the best player on the Pistons has an injury issue that will continue throughout his career, needs to be managed, needs to be dealt with, and on a team with such a razor-thin margin for error, that's going to be a problem. So I don't have any more better answers for you than that, than the fact that there's a chance that he comes out and plays against Toronto on Wednesday, but in my opinion, I don't think that's going to happen, and I don't think it's a good idea for him to do that. But no news on the Blake Griffin front before Monday's game against Washington. He was there. He was in the warm-ups as opposed to Dre in the street clothes there. But the second most important takeaway was Luke Kennard's disappearance in the fourth quarter. I'm pretty sure he literally touched the ball once in the final 8 minutes and 18 seconds when he came in. And Washington was up by 3 points at that point, and obviously ended up extending that lead as time went on. And Luke Kennard, the most talented offensive player on the Pistons, and obviously Derrick Rose is right there in terms of that conversation right now. And Derrick Rose at this moment might be a little bit better, but it's that old development versus win now argument, which is kind of the hallmark of the season for the Pistons right now. Got to pick a lane, right? We got to start thinking about what's better for this team going forward. And right now, it's a Derrick Rose-centric offense, especially with Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin being out. I know that Laz and Ben on the Detroit Bad Boys podcast talked about it on Monday. I hadn't listened to it during the game on Monday, but Laz pointed that out, and I did listen to it since then. Derrick Rose, as the primary ball handler, as the primary creator late in games, takes away reps from Luke Kennard, and we're a long ways away from Guns and Roses, right? It's supposed to be the cohesion between the two guys off the bench. Now Luke can't even sniff the ball. So enough for Guns N' Roses. I guess when you think about it, though, given Axl Rose and Derrick Rose and Slash and maybe a little bit of the individual mentality that Axl Rose had during the Guns N' Roses, maybe the Guns N' Roses metaphor is a little bit more apt than maybe we would have thought in a bad way for the Pistons and their two of their talented offensive players. You know, in a perfect world down the stretch, there's plays and there's motion, but you got to always play to strengths. And playing for the strengths for Derrick Rose means you go ISO with him. He gets by his guy, kicks the shooters, dumps it off to big men, those kind of things, and finishes off at the mid-range. That might be the Pistons' best option to win this game on this night in 2019 and early into 2022. It's kind of gross. It's not good offense. And it doesn't really help the Pistons' big picture unless you think that winning games night in and night out this season helps the big picture. Now, there's a legitimate argument to be made there. I just think philosophically I disagree with that. And I tweeted this. By the way, this is not to rip on Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose is playing great this year. He's been everything the Pistons wanted and more, living up to the contract and then some. He deserves to be in the sixth man of the year conversation. I know that Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell probably have that locked up out in L.A. with the Clippers right now, but he should be in that conversation. And he's maybe the Pistons' best tradable asset given his contract right now. You know, expiring deals are good, but he's even better because he's affordable for one more season at $7.5 million per year. You're happy if you're trading for him that he's not expiring because you get one more year of him in an affordable deal, and then he comes off in 2021 when there'll be like another seismic shift in the league. That cap space becomes more valuable. He'll be another year older, so maybe you don't want to make the commitment past next year to him in case it does go bad with his health. It's the perfect contract to trade to a contender. Now, Derrick Rose isn't a franchise-changing player, so maybe the asset you get back isn't outstanding, but man, I'm still working the phones. I'm still trying to make that deal if I'm Ed Stefanski. And for the Pistons, it's good when it's good. For Derrick, the New Orleans game, Houston, but it's kind of feast or famine. And he didn't play poorly at the end of this game. I'm not singling this out as a game in the negative. He was very good for the most part. And you get the sense that he loves that, right? He loves having the game in his hands, and that's a great skill that NBA players should have, especially if they're controlling it and knowing their role, whatever that role is. He enjoys the pressure. And obviously it wasn't enough this time. And again, the defense was the issue for this game. I don't want to overplay this as the biggest issue, but I just think it's a notable storyline going forward, especially because you have Luke Kennard, man. Where's Luke? You're three. He needs those crunch time reps like those guys talked about at Detroit Bad Boys. And I did ask Dwayne Casey about the relative silence from Luke offensively after the game, and here's what the coach had to say.
Luke wasn't really involved offensively in the fourth quarter for the most part. Is that kind of by
design? We ran a lot of plays for Luke. Ran a lot of plays for him. So, I would hope he would make a play. And, you know, you got to give Washington a little credit. You know, they get paid on the first and 15, too. So, they did a good job of trying to take him out. They put their best defenders on him. You got to be aggressive. You got to take what the game gives you each and every night.
There is Dwayne Casey on Luke says they ran a lot of plays for him and didn't get the ball in his hands. So, you know, take that for what you will. You know, there's a big difference between design plays in terms of here's exactly what's supposed to happen and more principle-based things in terms of reads that different players are supposed to make. So, you know, obviously the coach, not a super satisfactory answer, but, you know, a lot of times you can't be as completely honest as you want to be because maybe there's some strategy-based things in there and maybe there's some managing you're doing in terms of what you're saying publicly with the locker room you got to manage, the egos of the players you got to manage, and all that kind of stuff. But we know that the Dwayne Casey-Luke Kennard relationship is maybe part of the reason why Luke Kennard's game hasn't maybe taken off at times in the first couple years. It's been better this year. You have to credit Luke Kennard and credit Dwayne Casey for that. But there's just still kind of shades of not giving Luke the keys to the car as much as maybe a lot of you guys want there to be. And obviously, you know, my opinion is that the blame falls in a lot of different directions. Obviously, some of that on Luke Kennard and some of that on the coaching staff and Dwayne Casey as well. Like I said, they're kind of stuck organizationally as well because they have this directive to make the playoffs. Derrick Rose is probably a better option sometimes. And just like the band Guns N' Roses, a little bit of strife in the behind-the-scenes area of Guns N' Roses and all that is to say. But, you know, my first biggest takeaway, and I guess my tone about Avocado Gate will change as this drags on, as we now had the second straight game that Andre Drummond had to miss because of left eye inflammation that he suffered from an allergic reaction from eating avocados in a ceviche that he had down in Mexico City last week, all reported by Rod Beard of the Detroit News. You should read that story. Yeah, we all thought it was kind of funny and cool, and he still was able to play in the Mexico City game the next day. But, man, I tell you what, winning a very losable game against Houston and losing a very winnable game against the Washington Wizards on Monday, not really funny and cool anymore if it's apparently that serious. And, again, Andre Drummond, we have a reputation and maybe a history on this podcast of being a little bit anti-Andre Drummond is the wrong way of putting it because we do talk about how great of a player he is, fringe all-star type of guy. But defensively, he was missed in this game. Offensively, he was missed in this game, to his credit, because he's a very good player. Drummond's absence was missed in this game. Really could have used him tonight. And I'm old, and I think I just my perception of this is like, man, he's missing a really important game in the season. Obviously, you have to give a little bit of the blame for him, and I know the story goes that he asked the server if this has avocados on it. He said that his buddy speaks Spanish and asked as well. The plate came back. It was green. He ate the whole thing, was chowing down until he found what looked like an avocado and realized that he was going to have this allergic reaction. We got to take him for his word for it as far as what actually happened. You know, who knows how different eye inflammation things can happen, but you got to take him for his word at it. And again, man, I just the tone set by this kind of thing, followed up by the really super cool bright gold sunglasses, I just don't think this is a fun and cool story anymore. I don't think that you need to wear the fancy. And again, I can hear myself sounding like the oldest and whitest guy in the world, but the super fashionable sunglasses when you're out of the lineup because of an eye injury as the season continues to slip away because somebody's carelessness, whether it's yours at some percentage, whether it's the restaurant, whether it's some server, led to your avocado allergies resulting in you missing the important games. And like I've talked about, is in the middle of a stretch that will determine the fate of the season, which is in the middle of a season, which is going to determine the fate of this franchise, which is your livelihood, which is your career. I just don't think it's funny. I don't think, and again, it's this whole story just kind of finds itself a little bit too on the nose for those of us who have questions about Andre Drummond. The sunglasses, the whole thing, the allergies, it feels a little bit perfect. And at the end of it all, and this is not all to rip on Dre or take another reason to take a shot at Andre, it's kind of the perfect encapsulation of the Andre Drummond era. This probably and almost certainly wasn't all his fault, and maybe it wasn't a lot his fault, just like the basketball part with this franchise. Maybe there was nothing he could do about this. Maybe there was there's always something you can do about what you eat and making sure it's what should be right, especially if you apparently have a crippling allergy to avocados. Just like the basketball, though, maybe there's a lot of things he can't do about the fact that the Pistons have sucked in his entire career. But at the end of the day, the fans just kind of get shit on, and it's just kind of a funny thing that doesn't really seem to matter that much. I talked to someone, one of the writers who was there. They talked about how when you got to Mexico, the NBA read the Riot Act. They said, don't go here, don't go in the cab, don't go to this, don't go to that. If you're in they were in a high-end shopping kind of area, don't leave more than a mile from here. They were told very specifically about what to do and what not to do. Obviously, this is on the heels of the China situation. The last thing the NBA wanted was something in a foreign country that didn't go very well. Well, guess what? For the Pistons and Pistons fans, it didn't go very well because their best player so far this season is apparently has a crippling injury from something he ate because of the language barrier, because of being in a foreign country. Perfect for Andre Drummond and perfect for the Detroit Pistons. And with the, I don't know, I'm sure I'm reading too much into sunglasses, because anyone has the right to wear whatever sunglasses they want to wear on the sidelines and act however they want to act when you're not able to play because you can't put your contact lenses in. And by the way, why can't he wear goggles? Someone in the press corps mentioned that tonight. I actually think it's a legitimate question. Why isn't Andre Drummond wearing goggles? Why isn't the team making that happen? Dwayne explaining it in the pregame. Well, he's going to try to get his contacts in, but we'll see. And then he's out, kind of surprisingly. The Pistons probably win this game if he can play. To his credit, he legitimately was great at times earlier the season. Legitimately was great just a couple weeks ago against Indiana, kicking and screaming, dragging that team against a better team than them, showing that they may have some life in them, maybe become a playoff team. But again, you got to factor the foul trouble in. Apparently, you got to factor in the avocado allergy, because that's going to pop up every now and then. To me, it's more and more reasons, and again, not all Andre's fault, maybe not a lot of it Andre's fault, but just more and more reasons to move on as a franchise, move on as a fan base from this player. Let him move on. Let him move on to a new part of his career, kind of wash himself off of the stink that this Detroit Pistons era has been for all of us, him included, as fans, as podcasters. Maybe it will help for him to feel like he's slighted by the team, be slighted by guys like me, use that as a chip on his shoulder going forward, continue to add to his game like he does every offseason. But to me, man, it just feels done. It just feels done right now. And we don't need to blame. We don't need to, again, I'm sure I sound like parody as someone who kind of is doing a little blaming and then saying don't blame. But, man, just another strike. And I know you guys are probably all laughing about the avocado thing, but it's just not funny to me anymore. And this era, not funny to me anymore as well. But what could be funny, and if you're looking for a last-minute fun sports gift for the holidays, go to breaking.com/lockedon. Breaking Tee makes sports T-shirts around teams' passion moments. Great for all fans. Go to breakingtee.com/lockedon, and then feel free to search the site for great shirts and fun sports gifts. Maybe you can make an avocado, the avocado game, avocado Dre, make that shirt, and let's just have some laughs. But up next, we're going to listen to what Breishan has to say out in Philly. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
Hey, Matt, this is Breishan out in Philly. I just got back from a Bahamas cruise for 5 days for my mother's birthday, and I come back, and suddenly the Pistons play defense. So that's exciting. Ran into a couple Detroiters on the boat, but I can tell you about that later. I was talking about your trade possibilities with the Sixers, and I'm out in Philly, so I catch most Sixers games. Well, I can do a little scouting for everybody. Zaire Smith is a really long play right now in the range of Sekou. He had an allergic reaction, lost a whole bunch of weight. Broken foot, a lot of things that derailed his season. He might not see NBA time until well after the All-Star break. He doesn't play every game in the D-League, and a very promising player when you see the flashes. He could be dynamic if he ever improves, but
I would say that I don't think you need two long-term stars. I would probably go more for somebody like Furkan Korkmaz, who Philly may be reluctant to get rid of because he's producing right now. But if you give him Langston Galloway and Derrick Rose, they don't really need Korkmaz. But you could also argue that Korkmaz is basically a slightly more advanced Svean Mykhailiuk. But I'll keep an eye on some Sixers games, let you know if we ever see sight of Zaire or how his progress is going. But Philly'd be a good trade partner because they're not blowing the doors off like they thought, but man, they play the defense you want the Pistons to be playing, you know. The type of team that shows you can still be a great defensive team. So love the pod, and I'll check out some Philly players, see who's working good. See ya.
Thanks, Breesh. Really appreciate it. You keep an eye on those guys, and looking forward to seeing you hopefully this holiday season back in Detroit. If you're back in town, would love to meet up with a lot of you guys. So maybe we'll do a meetup right after the Christmas season or something like that. Give me some ideas if you got a place where we can meet, all that good stuff. Do a little meetup for the podcast. But yeah, I'm really interested to hear what you guys have to say about my Drummond avocado take. I'm guessing it's like, Matt, I like the show, but you're way off base here. You're overreacting to something that is a human thing that happens and not indicative of any bigger picture. But to me, man, it just rings true with a lot of the things that I kind of think about with this team and this franchise and this player and what needs to happen going forward. So that'll do it for our show. Give me a call on the Google voicemail line, 810-666-1546. Look, I've got a show to fill tomorrow, so let her rip. Give me a couple minutes on what you think. We'll play all the responses we get on the Google voicemail line, 810-666-1546. It's your turn. What do you think about Andre Drummond's future? What do you think about my take that this is kind of an indicative thing about a little bit of carelessness, a little bit of unluckiness, a little bit of franchise issues that have brought down the Andre Drummond era? What do you think? I want to hear from you guys. 810-666-1546. Open lines all day on Tuesday. We'll play a bunch of them on Wednesday if we get some. We'd appreciate that because, like I said, I've got nothing planned as of now. I've got a busy day on Tuesday and Wednesday as well, so we're going to need your help to get through these next couple days. Would appreciate that. This is your host, Matt Shook, Locked On Pistons Podcast, saying thanks for listening. Give us a call, 810-666-1546. Let me know what you think. Have a good one, guys. Talk to you later.